Let's go there.
Pastor?
Yes.
Yes,
his mom is doing better. She is still in the hospital. I'm sorry, I was going to mention her. She is still in the hospital. Oxygen levels are between 90 and 95, which is an improvement. You know, it's better to have them on the higher end of the 90s than the lower, but she was sounding real good today when he called her, he said. And Dad is doing better. He is at home. They need to find a place where he can recover well as well. So yeah, continue to keep Don and Joyce Bidlack. Thank you for mentioning that. Okay, if there's any others, go ahead and share them with your prayer partner and later on. Let's go ahead and look at Psalm 22, and we've been looking at verses 14 to verse 18, actually verse 12 to verse 21, but last week we kind of were not able to finish verses 14 through 18, but let me start there. We've been talking about the missions and the cross. Missions and the cross, chapter 22, clearly a prophetic psalm, clearly talking about the Lord Jesus. There's actual words he said on the cross that are mentioned here, and it gives us some insight spiritually what he was dealing with. And we saw that this is the place of the cross was an isolated place. We saw that a few weeks ago. Here we're finishing up our study about the cross, that it is a labor of missions. It is a suffering place. The labor of missions is a suffering work, because Christ certainly did suffer. We know that. How did he suffer? Well, we saw that he suffered emotionally. He suffered emotionally. Verses 12 and 13 tell us that Israel, who was the people that he came and part of their nation in a birth sense, physical, hated him, hated him, and attacked him ferociously even while he was on the cross. The Bible refers to them as bulls in verse number 12 and 13. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. Israel's appetite for Christ's sacrifice was ferocious. We saw that missions work suffers opposition from all levels of the people they are called to reach. Then we saw that Christ suffered, of course, physically, starting in verse 14. As a matter of fact, why don't we read those verses 14 to verse 21, and you can just follow along as I read those. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Verse 17. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. Here the Bible tells us certainly Christ suffered physically. His entire body was tortured. We looked at this a little bit more in depth last time. You might recall the heart, the bones, the joints, etc. All that was affected while he was on the cross. Jews and Gentiles alike, Jews and Rome collaborated to crucify Christ. That had a definite attack on him physically. And then we discovered that missions work always suffers physically to reach souls. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's go there before we look any further. 2 Timothy chapter 3, keeping our finger in Psalms. Look at 2 Timothy with me, please. Missions work always suffers physically to reach souls. 2 Timothy 3, verses 11 and 12. Here the Bible says, this is the Apostle Paul writing to his young pastor friend, and I say young, most believe he was in at least his 40s, Timothy at this time. He'd been in ministry for a long time, but here he was, God using this letter to help train and encourage him as a pastor. Verse number 11 and 12 of 2 Timothy 3. says this, "Persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." The Bible tells us clearly missions work has a physical requirement. Physical attacks are going to happen. And they want to reach souls. That's what something they're going to have to consider. And the Bible even expresses there have been throughout the ages those who have suffered for the witness of God. Starts right in the book of Genesis. We discovered Abel who gave his life, or I shouldn't say he gave it life, but it was taken in Genesis chapter 4 when he gave the sacrifice for blood and his brother gave sacrifice of what? Vegetables. Yeah, that didn't cut it. No, the blood had to be shed in order for God's forgiveness and acceptance of the offering. Zechariah, near the end of the Old Testament, he was sacrificed. He went through sufferings, and the Bible tells us even Jesus gave him great honor in Luke chapter 11, talking about his suffering for Christ, for God, and that his message was to repent in heart, which is something that was constant through Israel's history. God kept sending the prophets telling them, listen, it's the heart. It's not the outside. It's the inside that's rotten. That's what's making everything fall apart for you. You need to turn to God. And the Bible tells us Israel put him to death for it. John the Baptist. Matthew 14 records the story about his death, his martyrdom. He was beheaded. We all are aware of that. His death came because he pointed out to the king that he was in a wrong relationship. He was in an immoral relationship. And this shares with us that all are accountable to God. No one can escape God's accountability from the greatest positions to the lowest. And God continues to share with us that there are people who have given their lives for witnessing of him. We're going to look at some more about that as we go along. But let's do pray before we go any further in his word. Hopefully we can finish. I can see right now we're not going to finish everything, but we're going to get close. So we're going to try close. So let's go ahead and pray and ask God's help. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the examples, both in Scripture and in just history that we know of, who have given their lives so that the gospel of Jesus could be heard and seen, and that other souls might be won. I pray, Father, that that may not be your calling for us to give our life, but certainly we need to give you our tongue. We need to give you our heart. We need to give you our calendar, all that so that somebody else might be able to hear from us. Where Jesus can be their Savior too. We ask, Father, for your help tonight as we study some more of your Bible. Help us to draw more like Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray all this. Amen. Some others that are mentioned in the Bible. This is not an exhaustive list of those who have witnessed for God and their lives were taken as a result. But let me have some help if I could. Acts chapter 7, these are some longer passages. Acts chapter 7, verses 48 to 60. Who would read that? Read a long passage for us. Mr. Wallace, thank you. We'll share that. And then Acts chapter 1, just a couple verses, verses 13 and 14. Who would read that for us? Acts 1, verses 13 and 14. And Tony, I don't know if I saw your hand, but you're the one who's going to read those. Amen? All right. And then, let's see. Revelation 2, verses 12 to 14. Revelation 2, verses 12 through 14. Who would read those? Just a few verses there. Marcia's going to read those. Thank you very much. And then, Lord willing, we can continue on here. How about John chapter 1, verses 10 and 11? John 1, verses 10 and 11. Only a couple of verses there. I know we got a few, not many to choose from, but that's all right. Brother Eric, thank you very much for that. And then I saw over here, was that written? Okay. How about Genesis 3:15? 3:15. All right. Thank you very much. And then we'll all try and finish it up there. All right. The Bible tells us, not only talks about Abel, Zechariah, John the Baptist in the Bible. Of course, Stephen. When we talk about martyrs, that's the first name. Usually for me, that's the first name that comes to mind, but he's not the only one, obviously. And yet he is. His witness was clear. Here's part of the story of his his life and giving it up for Christ. In Acts chapter 7, he knew what he was going to say was likely going to lead to that. But here's what the Bible says, recorded part of his message, verses 48 through 60. Thank you. I have a hard time hearing or reading that and not picturing it. Do you? Do you? Here's a man who loved the Lord so much. If there's a title of the message that he gave in Acts chapter 7, it's in verse 51, as your fathers did, so do ye. As your fathers did. The word fathers is mentioned several times throughout the chapter. And when he kept mentioning them, and finally he pointed the finger, you're the ones who had, you had the Christ in your hands, you had the Messiah, and yet you murdered him, you killed him. He calls him the just one. So what is the message there from him? There is no substitute for faith in Jesus. There is no substitute for faith in Jesus. It has to be Jesus. It's not ceremonies. It's not the rituals. It's not the religions. It's Jesus that gets salvation from God. James, the apostle, the disciple, another one who was killed for the name of Christ. And we read about him, first of all, in Acts chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Okay, thank you. So notice in Acts chapter 1 there, James was part of the group that continued to steadfastly, faithfully look to the Lord. The Bible says they went to God in prayer together. And we know he continued to serve the Lord as one of the leaders of the New Testament church at the time. If you go to Acts chapter 12, we read about what happened to him. Would you go there with me? Acts 12, and starting in verse number 1, here's what it says in Acts chapter 12. Now about that, or did I give this out? I did not give this out, did I? Okay, let's read it then. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring them forth to the people. The Bible here again continually telling us about the faithful believer. He can expect the world's condemnation. This is really spelled out in 1 Thessalonians. Would you go there? 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul, one of those men that we read about, heard about in Acts chapter 7, who later got saved and became a great witness for God, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 explains some of the persecution that he went through. 1 Thessalonians 1, looking at verse number 5, take a look. Yeah, I think so. Let's see. Let's find out. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living God and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Here the Bible tells us that this is part of serving the Lord that James would have encountered. Apostle Paul talks about the church at Thessalonica, which if you do some research on, they would have been idol worshipers. You look at the scriptures here through the chapters, you'll find they were idol worshipers. And when they worshiped idols back in those days, folks, they didn't just light candles and put some smelly stuff out so that the false gods could smell some sweet savor. No, they used immorality. They used their monies to pay for this idolatry, and God gloriously saved them, and they became a great church for God. Apostle Paul talking about that. James. I've looked through the scriptures to find out if there's actual statements from James. The only one I could find is, remember when James and John came to Jesus and they said, Lord, will you give us a position, a place of prominence in your kingdom? How many remember hearing about that? That was the only time I could remember or looked or found that James actually stated something, James the apostle, that is. But what he did do, what we can get from his name in the Word of God, is that he was faithful. He was faithful. He did not quit on the Lord. And he expected the world's condemnation, which it came in a moment's notice. Acts chapter 12 just seems to all of a sudden shows up. Herod decided, well, I think we'll just kill James today. That's what it seemed to me. And Peter was right on the list too. Antipas. Revelation chapter 2 talks about this man. Revelation 2 verses 12 to 14.
And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with the two edges. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornications.
Okay, thank you very much. This man Antipas, only mentioned here in Revelation chapter 2, and yet he has a place in God's word for eternity, for being a faithful, the Bible says, martyr of God. And wow, what did he do? What can we take from that? Pergamos was the compromising church. It was a church that was faithful to the word of, to the name of Christ, but yet it indicates there was compromise going on that Jesus addressed there in Revelation chapter 2. And yet this man Antipas seemed to stand against that. His example was brought up by the Lord. And remember Antipas, remember him, how he, though he gave his life, he stood for me. So that point is this: satanic forces work to compromise the body of Christ to tolerate evil. That's the blank. Evil. And what was the evil going on in Pergamos that the idol worshipers were doing? Again, immorality. Again, compromise of things in the church and so forth, trying to get that in there. And Antipas was one who stood fast for that. Does persecution still happen today? Yes, it does. And there's plenty of sources you can look at. One I found is called opendoorsusa.org. I don't particularly say that's the best website you could ever look up, but if you're looking for some data and some information about martyrdom and those Christians that need our prayers, this is what they shared. Every day, we're talking about today, 2021, right now. Some numbers that they have put out there that on a daily basis, 13 Christians in the world are killed. for giving their life for God, for the gospel. 12 Christians unjustly are arrested or imprisoned somewhere in the world. 5 Christians are abducted every day somewhere in the world. 12 church buildings are attacked every day somewhere in the world. And those numbers are likely low. And they even say that. This is likely low, but this is what we can confirm of those who name the name of Christ. 13. How many is that in a day? 13. How many is that every 2 hours? Every 2 hours, someone's killed for being a Christian, for naming the name of Christ in the world today. Hey, praise the Lord. We don't have that kind of fear today in America, but whether we have it or not, we still have the same responsibility to be a witness. Amen? We still have the same responsibility, whether death is looking us in the face or not. And God says that is part of that suffering that Jesus shares, that we can share with him and our missionaries considerably. The Bible tells us that he suffered physically. But he also suffered, number three here, he suffered spiritually. Very quickly, let's go back to Psalm 22. He suffered spiritually. Verse 19. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength, haste thee to help me. Jesus gave out that final cry to God right from the cross. And here it's recorded for us in Matthew 27. And let's go there. Matthew 27, you know the statement, but let's read it. Matthew 27, look at verse 46 with me, please, starting there. Verse 46 in Matthew 27 says this, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there when they heard that said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. By the way, what was it that took the life of Jesus? Was it all the beatings? Was it the blood loss that he went through? We read that some medical people looked at the scriptures account and said, boy, he was bleeding more than his heart could pump to replenish that. Was it the physical side? No. The Bible says that he chose to give his life. And the Bible tells us very clearly, he yielded up the ghost. But he gave out that cry, and certainly that's a cry out to the Lord. You know, and during times of suffering, our prayers seem to get a little more serious. Amen. When things aren't going the way that we had hoped, we were excited to do, and they just don't turn out that way, then it seems finally we get the picture that we should have been praying all along, asking God's help. God's plan for Christ did not deliver him from the cross. His plan did not deliver him from the cross. Jesus, if you go back to Psalms, take a look there, some interesting, again, word pictures here for us. The Bible tells us he did not deliver him from the cross. Jesus suffered his own nation's rejection. Verse number 20 there, deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Now this could be his nation, could refer to his nation, Israel. It could refer to Satan, could refer back and forth, I'm not sure. But in John chapter 1, the Bible tells us very clearly that Israel rejected Jesus, not just that day, but from the beginning. And Eric's got that. John 1, verse 10 and 11. Okay, thank you very much. So there the Bible clearly tells us that Jesus was not welcomed by his own nation, his own people, and the Bible describes him as a dog. That's the blank, dog. Then the lion. Again, this could refer to Israel. Earlier in the passage, I believe it is referring to Israel as a lion, a roaring lion in verse 13. But certainly in our New Testament, the lion is clearly pictured as Satan and his bruising. Satan bruised the heel of Christ. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, right back in the beginning of the Bible, explains that that was going to be coming.
And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel.
Okay, thank you very much. This was, prophetic verse, statement by God. And the Bible tells us that even there on the cross, Satan was very active. Finally, number three, the unicorn. Who would that be? Jesus suffered the world's condemnation. Who was the other player, I should say, at the time of the crucifixion? You had Israel, you had Satan. Who was left?
Rome.
Rome, which represented the unbelieving world, the Gentile world. And the Bible tells us that even that, they pierced him. Look at verse 21 there. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. God's plan did not deliver Christ. Is God's plan always to deliver us from the power of persecution?
No.
But it often does. It often does. And so what should we do if God can help, certainly, and regularly does deliver us? What is it that we need to be doing on a regular basis? We need to be asking him. Missions work benefits by, here's the blank, prayer. That's what Jesus did on the cross. Missions work benefits by prayer in the church body. Let's close with this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Prayer in the church body benefits our missionaries. You say, how do you know? Well, it was written down a long time ago. Look at verse number 8 with me. As a matter of fact, would you read these verses with me? Starting in verse 8, we're going to read down to verse 11. Let's go ahead and read them together, shall we? So we'll wake you up a little bit. We'll finish this off and then go pray. Verse number 8, let's read together. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver in whom we trust, that he will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Prayer. Even the Apostle Paul said, your prayer. And this is the Corinthian church. Man, this is the church none of us want to be in. Amen. But yet, what did he say? Your prayers made a difference. Your prayers made a difference. Folks, these missionaries that we have on our list tonight, I always try to put them on the back there and try to keep it up. There's a few names that aren't on there, like the little ones that have been born or so forth. But the families are there, and they need our prayers. Some of them we've read about tonight. I have with me, I ordered an interesting pamphlet about prayer. I'd like you to have it tonight. You can look through it later, but use it as kind of a model when you pray for missionaries. And tonight we want to pray for those missionaries. Pray for them because they suffer. Amen. They suffer and they need our help spiritually to go through the days to reach people. Take one, look through it very quickly, but do use it. It's a great resource. I hope it'll help you as you pray for missionaries. So let's go find a partner and let's pray. We are dismissed for prayer.